Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Friday night, 22nd of March. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
Well, you know, trying to play a little bit of catch up here. We had, folks, we had four really great topics all lined up for tonight, and we've ditched two of them and inserted two new ones. It's been a busy day.
Does change in a blink of an eye.
Well, it's been a busy day, and we're going to dive right into it. Let's start with Marjorie Taylor Greene, who really, I think, went off the rails today, calling for the unseating of Speaker Mike Johnson.
You know, the problem here is, in politics, timing is everything. And her timing on this was absolutely some of the worst timing I have ever seen. Calling for the removal of the speaker at a time when we're heading into a presidential election, at a time when our party is still vastly divided, was the wrong thing to do.
Well, and I'll throw something else in as far as timing is concerned. We are about to be down to a majority of one in the House of Representatives.
Exactly.
One member of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives is leaving early. Will not be a special election to fill that seat for a couple of months. And, you know, I mean, our majority is thin enough. And when you pull a stunt like this, and I think this is a stunt, okay, when you've got that thin of a majority, you're just sucking around for trouble. And, you know, this to me seems like horse crap. Now, I understand that this big omnibus spending bill that just went through that Mike Johnson helped to negotiate has a lot of crap in it that's no good. But all spending bills have a lot of crap in them that's no good.
Absolutely.
You know, now this one's got stuff in it that really helps protect and encourage illegal aliens that are coming here from all over the damn world. It's got a whole bunch of crap and you know, nonsense and bull in it. But she's taking it out on Mike Johnson and demanding that he be removed as Speaker. What about all the other Republicans in the House that voted in favor of this bill?
Yes.
I mean, this isn't Mike Johnson's, you know, passage alone.
No, it isn't.
She's not talking about anybody else. She's just talking about the Speaker. She is part of that Matt Gaetz cabal. On the right side of the aisle in the House. Now, if you go back to October last year, and we had the whole kerfluffle that started with Matt Gaetz that threw Kevin McCarthy out, and eventually is the key word here, put Mike Johnson into the Speaker's seat, a big part of the problem there was they got all headstrong and threw McCarthy out before they had anybody to replace him.
Exactly.
Have you heard of anybody to replace Mike Johnson?
No, this group of characters, what I call them, they are as far to the right as the progressives in the Democratic Party are to the left. The two can actually shake hands with each other. What they are forgetting, people like Green and Gates, is the great Ronald Reagan and how he was able to get things done via bipartisanship. Neither side is ever going to get exactly what they want. But the key word here is compromise. Without compromise, especially in these dangerous times, I don't think we're ever going to get anything done.
And I can, you're right, you know, and I can understand the unwillingness to compromise with some of these goofy liberals, you know, that are trying to get illegals the right to vote and all this kind of crap. I mean, I can see the merit in saying no to a lot of this stuff. But you know what? Spending bills come and come and come and come. This is not going to be the last spending bill ever to come down the pike. To me, what you do in this case, you got a spending bill you don't like. It's got a bunch of stuff in it you don't like. Okay. Suck it up, cupcake, and deal with it for now. If we can keep the majority in the House, which is highly, highly important, if we can keep the majority in the House, the next spending bill that comes along, you can take a bunch of this crap out and fix it. Okay, but to throw the entire party into turmoil with 8 months to go before an election and roughly 10 months before the next Congress is seated in late January of 2025, now is not the time to upset the apple cart and then pat yourself on the back and say, look what good I am.
Right. And what's even worse to me is I sometimes think these kind of things are deliberately orchestrated by people who still don't understand. While you might support one person for president, they still don't get that any president they support is impotent if we don't have the House and the Senate.
Right.
What she just did today is probably cost us the House.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, and a report also came out today that in certain key battleground states, that while they might lean for Trump for president, they are not leaning for his supported Republicans for senators. In other words, we might lose another 3 Senate seats.
And
timing is everything, folks.
Timing is everything. And she stuck her foot in it, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I know there are going to be Republicans out there that are cheering her on. Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you go, you rock, girl. You know, look, there is a time to take a stand, and there is a time to make a maneuver like this. This is not it. Okay, now, she's out there saying that if we don't do this, we're going to lose the House. I think there's every bit as good a chance that by doing it, we're going to lose the House.
We're going to lose the House either way. I sadly think. Because, all right, she wants him out. But now you have Johnson is going to make an invitation to Bibi to come and address Congress.
Right.
That's going to not work out well as far as the House, because the anti-Israel faction, and there were some even on the Republican side, they're going to add that into the mix, and we might lose those seats.
Right. Right. Now, here's the unknown. I have not heard yet. Surprisingly, I've not heard yet what Trump thinks of what Marjorie Taylor Greene did. Now, she's a big supporter of President Trump.
Right.
Okay. So I wouldn't be surprised that he doesn't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that he can't leave anything alone because he has to comment on everything, I'm shocked we haven't heard from him yet on this. But that doesn't change the fact that there is a time and a way to do this where right. It would not have caused an upheaval within the party, within the House, in the lead up to the election. Now, I could understand full well if Trump doesn't like this spending bill, because there is things in this spending bill, there are things in this spending bill that are very counterproductive to our national security and so on and so forth. But, you know, the time to make a move like this is not now. It's after the election. You know, if you get through the election and you still have a majority in the House, and you don't think the negotiation to get this bill across the finish line was proper, then you can replace the speaker when you seat the new Congress next January. You could seat a new speaker. That's the way you take care of this.
Right. Well, there's one hope in this, is in the fact that she filed a motion to vacate the speaker. Now, currently, it's not what's called privileged, which means it is a threat only in its content form, and she has a certain amount of time to withdraw it.
Right.
Which I would hope she would do, but Marjorie Taylor Greene is a loose cannon. And she could be doing this for her 15 minutes of fame as well, because maybe her House seat is in jeopardy.
Yeah, and she might think because she backed Kevin McCarthy, right. and people didn't like that in her district, she might think, well, this will get me back on their good side and I can keep my seat. I mean, I don't really know what her motivation behind this is, but it's just piss poor timing.
It could also be her seeking her 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, could be.
And also maybe, I mean, an outside chance that she thinks this maneuver will put her on that short VP list of Trump's.
I suppose,
don't put anything past her.
No, I suppose anything's possible, and time will tell. Now, if she'd have filed this as a what was it called, a priority or privileged?
Privileged.
They would have had to have taken action on it in 2 days. Well, today is Friday, and they're going on vacation for 2 weeks.
That's what's even worse, because the 2 weeks, their spring, Easter, Passover break, will give time for this to build momentum, and not in a good way. She's going to be out there trying to convince the Matt Gaetz, you know, cult following, that they need to side with her on this.
Well, and she's going to have the Matt Gaetz cabal, okay?
Probably.
She's going to have that. But if I was Kevin Johnson, I'd be working the phones and. You know, getting a hold of every Republican member of the House and tell them, look, if you want me out, I will step aside. If we keep the majority, if we don't keep the majority, it doesn't matter. But if we do keep the majority, I will happily step aside next January. But let's not have this kind of an upheaval right now, because we are in the middle of the most contentious election cycle we have ever seen. And maybe he can, you know, get enough backing with people with common sense in the House to stifle this thing. I hope.
I tend to look more at tangible realities. And the realities is that she's a showman.
Oh, yeah.
She wants attention focused on her. She's got her 15 minutes of fame now, and she's going to run with it. I never liked this woman. I always, you know, she's kind of like Carrie Lake, but in a way even more obnoxious to me anyway.
Carrie Lake is kind of a flake.
Yeah.
At times.
At times, right.
You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is, I think, pretty arrogant, and you know, this is not a smart move at this point in the proceedings. And I, you know, good Lord. I mean, it's one of these things. We're going to keep an eye on it. It's going to be on the slow roll because, you know, like we said, they're taking a spring break for a couple of weeks here. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and it's very dangerous things can happen when they're on break, because what's going to happen is behind the scenes deals are going to be made,
right,
that might not work in our favor.
You know, here's the thing. It's the last thing I'm going to say about this tonight. She launches into this, and as far as we know, they don't have anybody in mind to take over the position.
No. Right now, there's no they. Right now, it is her.
Well, I'm talking about the Matt Gaetz cabal. Now, let me just quickly ask you this. Let's say, Diane, you are a member of the House of Representatives.
Okay.
Okay. And let's say this thing gains enough momentum that they're going to pitch Mike Johnson out of the seat.
Mm-hmm.
If they came to you and said, you want to be the speaker, what would your answer be?
What would my answer be? Yeah, I would do it, because I look at things with tangibles, facts, and realities. I don't live in a world where I have to worship a cult member, whatever. I do a hell of a lot better as a speaker than anyone that has been speaker over the past couple of years.
Okay, let me push the other side of that point. If they came to me and said, hey, Craig, you want to be the speaker? My answer is, oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get crossways with any one of these fruit bats on the right side of the aisle, we're going to go through this whole thing again.
Yeah. But the point is, there's nobody in the House right now who will satisfy all factions.
That's nobody. That's my exact point. It doesn't matter which side of the caucus you're on. You're not going to be able to satisfy everybody. Do you really want to be there and know that at any given moment, somebody could get a snoot full and file for you to get out? No. Hell no.
You know what this shows, beyond a shadow of a doubt? Democrats are very loyal to their party. They will march in lockstep. Republicans are not loyal to the party. They are loyal to individuals. Yep. And that in itself is dangerous.
Gotta stop. All right, so let's shift gears here a little bit, talk about what happened in Moscow. This is one of those things that kind of comes out of the blue. It's not the first time something like this has happened, but holy crap. Concert hall in Moscow. There's a band playing. The place is full of people. And all of a sudden, there are masked people in there firing weapons that we know of. 40 have died. 70 have been injured. And the building was set on fire. They also threw explosives.
Right.
We have no idea who.
Putin, of course, says terrorists, which, of course, anyone who does anything like this is a terrorist. However, there are certain little things that are really irksome. Number one, basically, Putin, with his forced election, you know, made himself dictator for life. He's not a president, folks. He's a dictator. Also, not long ago, Navalny was murdered in prison, but he had a huge following. I would guarantee that a lot of these people at this concert were his supporters. And I personally would not put it past Putin to somehow, some way, be behind this.
Well, anything is possible with that guy. He is former KGB. He's a thug, right? So you can't rule anything out. Navalny's followers could have been there. It could also be Navalny's followers that did it. You know, to Putin, everybody's a terrorist who didn't vote for him. So when he says, you know, this is a terrorist attack, this could be people that are just sick and tired of Putin.
That is, I would think, is more likely, because remember, what we consider terrorists is not what Putin considers terrorists, because he doesn't have the issues that we have. People crossing his borders illegally. He doesn't have a Muslim issue in his country. So terrorists to him might just be his opposition.
Yeah, that's what I said. To him, a terrorist is anybody that did not vote for him.
Well, he has no way of knowing really who and who did not vote for him.
Really, you think?
Unless the ballots are even worse than Dominion. They're already pre-marked before you go in.
You know, it's just kind of an open question right now. That's the point. Nobody is really sure who is behind this. And eventually, their, you know, word will come out and they will say, well, this group or this person or so-and-so is behind this. But bear in mind, that's coming out of the Kremlin and through TASS news service, so you can't trust it.
Right. By the way, if anybody wants to know, the band that all these people went to see was a band called Picnic.
I mean, I could understand it if it was Nickelback, but...
Yeah. But, you know, this is, the gunmen were in the building for between 15 and 20 minutes, and the bomb that they set off, the fire is so great that right now, as we're talking, the roof of the building itself is on the verge of collapse. Over 100 people were wounded, and the original death toll of, I believe, what was it, about...
They said
it was
40.
Dozens of people. It is on the rise.
Yeah, they were trying
still today get people out, and they can't get them out.
Right. You know, earlier today, about an hour ago, hour and a half ago, they said the death toll was at 40, and the injury list was up to 70. But you know those numbers are going to go up.
It's over 100 by now.
Yeah, because they just have no way of getting to a lot of the people that were trapped in there in the building. Is engulfed in flames.
Right. This is a terrible situation. Innocent people. But then again, to Putin, maybe they're not so innocent. Now, they didn't vote for him. Remember, he won his election by 88%. That means that 12% of the Russians who voted against him.
That's right.
And he's got this ego that will not tolerate that.
Well, and I'm going to go way out on a limb here, okay?
Okay.
So far out on a limb, nobody could see this coming, right? And if you believe that, I'll sell you a bridge.
Okay.
Putin's going to come out over the next couple of days, and he's going to say that this was done by Ukrainians.
Oh, of course.
By Ukrainian terrorists, because he's going to propagandize it. And I mean, nobody would ever think of this, right? I mean, come on. We know how this is going to go. This is why I say, whenever the Kremlin comes out and says, okay, we know who did it and here's who it is, you can't trust them because they will propagandize this thing six ways to Sunday.
Well, you know what? This could even have been a setup by Putin for just that reason.
It very well could. And you cannot put that past him.
No,
let's do something big and blame it on Ukrainians.
Yeah, people in this country don't realize how bad Putin is. And one of the big mistakes is that the news media keeps calling him President Putin, just like they keep calling illegals illegal migrants. They're not migrants. They're illegals. They're criminals. Well, so is Putin. But even worse than that, Putin is an out-and-out dictator. And for our media to keep calling him president because of a false election, that's wrong right there.
Yeah, they won't call it like it really is.
No.
You know, I mean, but you know he's going to blame this on the Ukrainians who had, I would guarantee you 99.9% Ukraine had nothing whatsoever to do with this. The Ukrainians have their hands full.
Right.
And if Ukrainians, if a group of Ukrainians made it all the way to Moscow, the Kremlin would have known about it.
Oh, of course they would. Of course they would. I mean, this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. It's a shame that innocent people are now dead. Opposition people, I'm sure there are opposition people to Putin in that audience. Because it was a concert, that leads me to believe that most of the concert goers were young people. And it's the young people in Russia who are dissatisfied with Putin's regime. So all you have to do is put two and two together.
It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out over the next day or two.
Yes, it will be.
You know, but expect the propaganda machine to kick into high gear.
Oh, of course.
you know, and I guess the real question is, do you think we'll ever actually know who was behind it? I'm not sure we ever will.
I think we might.
I don't trust our intel service to tell us the truth.
Oh, no, not. This is not our intel service. This is, you know, Obama's intel service. So I trust nothing.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that we'll ever really get a clear indication of who did this. You know, but the sad part of it is there's a whole bunch of people in Moscow that just went to hear a band called Picnic play music. And they went there to enjoy themselves. And this happens.
Right.
This is
not Ukraine, folks.
This is not Ukraine. And I do feel for the Russian people, especially those who are involved in their families and friends, because things like this should never happen, period.
And guess what? It can happen here.
And it could very easily happen here because of our open border.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, we'll talk about our open border after break. Our open border is a joke.
Oh, and it's getting to be a bigger, bigger mess.
Yes.
You know, let's do that. Let's go ahead and take the bottom of the hour break here. We've still got a couple of big topics to talk about tonight. The border, as Diane said, is one of them. The other one takes place in Maryland. So stay tuned. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori getting you through a Friday night edition of the show, and if you miss any part of it, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and you can listen to the entire broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so off to southern Texas we go, to the town of El Paso, and where we had a border incident, an incident amongst an invasion.
Yeah. Basically what happened, and you can see it in video that was taken by the New York Post. And don't let the words New York fool you. It is a right-leaning newspaper. They actually showed dozens of adult males ripping away the razor wire that was set up by the state and charging past National Guardsmen, you know, Border Patrol. And they ran towards a section of the border wall where they were blocked from entering further. And yet, the ones that were catched were released. And this, guys, is beyond comprehension. This is the reason why you do something like this. It is obviously you're entering here illegally, most likely for nefarious purposes. Shoot to kill.
That's the only option that I can see.
It's the only option we have left.
Of course, the liberals will tell you, oh, no, this is not an invasion.
Yeah.
Well, it sure looked like one.
Yeah.
I mean,
I watched.
They will tell you that what happened on January 6, 2021, that was an insurrection. That was the worst thing since the Civil War. But what's happening at the border? That's not an invasion.
No. There were very few women, very few children. Mostly this was young adult males who stormed the border. They knocked down the border agents, causing injuries. They do not have the orders to stop these people in the sense of shoot to kill, shoot to just take down, wound. Why are they there? Why are they putting their lives on the line when they're not even allowed to protect their own lives?
See, that's the question you got to ask, Diane. You're absolutely right. I mean, if you're a Border Patrol agent, if you're a member of the National Guard, and you can't protect yourself, much less your country, then, you know, as a Border Patrol or as a National Guardsman, my question easily and quickly becomes, then what the hell am I doing here?
Right. And, you know, they say that the ones that were finally captured will be processed for deportation, but there should be no processing. Throw them on a bus, send them over the border, and that's it. The processing, well, God knows how long that takes.
That takes years. It's a years-long deal. It could take up to five years.
Yeah. These are the people. Oh, and by the way, to make matters worse, Biden was in Texas when this happened and did not a damn thing.
Not only did he not do anything, he didn't even say anything.
Nothing. The Biden you saw at the State of the Union address, folks, was a hopped up on speed or something Biden. The not doing anything Biden, the not saying anything Biden is the real Biden.
I mean,
in my opinion.
And worse yet is the precedent this sets for the other illegals that are still coming. And there are millions of them. Okay. They now know they can do this and get away with it.
Exactly. That is why, and I had written about this a few weeks ago, Israel is now in the process of putting together a security envelope, which is miles from the ends of Gaza into Israel. We're talking wired, bombed with the soldiers. If they see someone crossing, they have the orders to be able to take these people down. This is what we need here. Plain and simple. These are not migrants coming, true migrants coming for a better life. These are young, military-aged men who are part of an invasion, as far as I'm concerned.
It's clearly an invasion.
Yep, there are terrorists among them. Mm-hmm.
If you perforate a few of them, this slows down real fast.
Exactly. But with this administration, that won't be allowed. Now, when DeSantis was running for president, he said that would be the case under his stewardship. I wonder what Trump will do now. Will he have the guts to say, take him down?
Know. I don't know.
We don't know. He hasn't said anything, so we don't know. Yeah, he said he will secure the border, which is well and fine, but you can only secure the border with tangible actions. He has yet to say what his tangible actions will be. They might be the same as DeSantis's, but I'd love to hear it from his mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. I'd love to know what the exact plan is. And I can understand you don't want to give away too much too soon. I get that. But, you know, I mean, this kind of stuff has got to stop, because now the Biden regime has set precedent that if you're an illegal alien and you want to storm the Border Patrol and our National Guard troops, feel free, because they're not going to be allowed to do anything to stop you.
Right. And you know, the only comment that was released today, not by Biden, but some spokesperson in his administration, I don't think it was who I call Medusa. What they said was that the Biden administration, that Biden needs more funding and resources and reforms to overhaul a broken system, and has called for passage of a bipartisan Senate package.
Here we go.
Well,
again,
when you send it to the Democrat, you know, controlled Senate, you know it's not going to be in America's favor.
There are things in that proposal that speed up making these illegal aliens full-blown citizens. Mm-hmm. There are things encapsulated in there that give illegal aliens the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer is nope, 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 nope.
Right. Now, this is where Marjorie Taylor Greene should have opened her big mouth. Not about Speaker Johnson.
Right. I mean, you know, there are, you know, look, that liberal bill for the border, that border proposal, is 100% geared in favor of illegal aliens.
Correct.
And it does nothing to protect our border, to protect our country, to protect our national security, or to protect our people. Nothing. That's why that border bill cannot be passed. You cannot codify that kind of crap into law. We cannot have illegal aliens voting in our elections. They're not citizens.
They're not citizens. Well, you know, Biden and crew could care less about the Constitution. Remember all the things Obama said about our Constitution. Well, Biden's crew is just reinforcing it. But some Republicans today actually said that the legislation is not needed, but what the administration needs to do is restore calm by reenacting Trump-era policies like Remain in Mexico and wall construction. To that I say, are you kidding me? You need to shoot to kill. You need a security envelope along the border. You cross it, you get your certain amount of warnings, you don't listen, boom. It's come to that point, folks. It really has. You take down a handful of them. Wait till you see how fast this is going to stop. Oh, landmine the border if you have to. A war will not stop these people.
A lot can be done with the stroke of a pen. You know, Biden made this all possible for illegal aliens by using a pen.
Right.
Okay. If you put the Trump era provisions back in place, it's going to slow this thing way down. But the only way you're going to stop it is you got to do what Diane's talking about. And what I've said in the past, you've got to go after the Mexican drug cartels on that side of the border.
Well, that's
and you've
what
got
DeSantis
to treat them
said.
Like a military yeah. enemy, and you've got to go wipe them out.
Yeah. You've got to cross the border for the good of Americans. But and Biden and crew never do what's good for Americans.
Oh,
they
no.
do what's good for anyone who will give them votes. And you know what's even a crime in all this in its own right? Joe Biden and crew have thrown Black Americans under the bus in favor of illegal criminals.
Not only Black Americans, Diane, but also Hispanics. The ones that came to this country the proper way are pissed.
Are furious.
They are hopping mad right now, and as well they should be.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you stand in line and you dot all the I's and you cross all the T's and you do everything that's expected of you to become a legitimate United States citizen, because by God, you want to live in the great United States.
Right.
And you're coming here to work, and you're coming here to work hard and make a better life for yourself and your family. And you do everything the right way. And then you look around behind you, and you got all these people just pouring across the border without doing anything. And they're getting everything given to them. They're getting free cell phones, free housing, free education, free health care, free transportation.
Food stamps, health care.
Everything.
But you know what you forgot to mention? The people that come here to this country also pay money to come here.
Right. They're paying the drug cartels.
Money that takes them, most of them, a long time to get together. And yet these people just waltz in. Welcome, welcome. We are living in a bizarro world where everything is turned upside down.
It is. It's sick and it's sad.
It is. It's pathetic. And you know what? It's criminal what's being done.
Well, and I hope I'm wrong, but what you saw in El Paso this week, I believe it's just the tip of the iceberg. I believe there's a lot more of that and worse to come.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's all orchestrated.
Yep. And nothing will be done. Nothing will be done about it.
It won't happen here in Florida, that I can tell you.
You know, I mean, it's sick, but it's true.
Right.
All right. So finally, let's take a look at a small town in Maryland, a town of about 1,600 people in Maryland. Ridgely, Maryland is the name of the town.
Right.
It's the kind of town when you see photos of it, you kind of think, well, you know, this is a quiet, sleepy little town, a lot of mom and pop stores. It's kind of a Norman Rockwell type of situation, you know. I mean, it's small. You can't imagine a high crime level going on in a town like that. It's kind of across the bay from Washington, D.C. But something odd happened there a few days ago. the county commissioners, Caroline County is the county this little town is in, they suspended, not fired, suspended the entire police department. Now, the entire police department consists of three people. But now it consists of zero. No.
The town commission who did this is three people.
How many people are on the police department?
That's what I'm... At least half a... the department's website states it employs a half a dozen or so officers to serve its population of about 1,600 residents. But it was a three-member commission.
Okay. All of them have been suspended with pay.
Right.
And they're not telling any of the people that live there why.
Right. And if there's any trouble in the town, which there probably will not be, it's a very peaceful town, officers from other areas of the county will have to come in. And, you know, there you have your time element. Let's say there's a robbery or something in progress. Police don't get there in time. But the worst part of this is they blindsided their people. They never told them. And this could start happening in, you know, small towns across this country.
Well, and what they're saying, the only thing they're telling people is they are suspended with pay pending the outcome of an investigation. So the people of the town, the shop owners, the people who live there, they're saying, well, investigation into what? Well, we can't tell you that.
Right.
Well, I think maybe the people that live there and count on the police department in times of need have a right to know why their police department is under investigation and why they've been suspended with pay.
Exactly. And they're not telling them anything. And that's what's worse. For I would love to know the reason why. What good reason can you have in getting rid of your town's entire police department?
Well, let's...
Is this going to be a new illegal haven, maybe?
Well, it probably makes you wonder. Okay, yeah. Let me play devil's advocate here. Let's say there is some sort of corruption going on within that police department.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something that definitely needs to be dealt with and dealt with quickly. I would fully agree with that. But if there is corruption, why not tell people there's corruption? Now, let's say, okay, you've got six members of the police department in Ridgely, Maryland. Okay. Let's say two of them were corrupt, but you've suspended all six. Pending the outcome of the investigation. So let's say the investigation gets done and you can only find evidence against two of them. So you fire those two. If you're one of the other four, are you going to go back to work in Ridgely after that? I wouldn't. I mean,
no.
Are people really going to have your back? Are they really going to respect you? Are they going to question you for the rest of your time as a police officer as to whether or not you were actually involved in this and you just got lucky and didn't get caught? You know, you can't do this to an entire police department unless you've really got the goods on the whole damn police department. Well, and if you do, why not tell people what you're doing?
Well, here's another thing. This is a town of 1,600 people, a six-member police department. Obviously, the people were very happy with their police department. So when you take that into consideration, what bad thing can they have done? The people are happy. The town is safe. In 20 years, they've only had four murders. What is the problem here? That's why it leads me to believe that this might be a test for moving illegals in.
Might be a test for moving illegals in. It might be a test for defunding the police.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're already going through that.
But let me ask another obvious question here that I have not yet seen the answer to. Maybe you have, Diane, but I haven't. these six members of the Ridgely, Maryland Police Department are under investigation. By whom? Who is investigating them?
Maybe the county itself.
But they're not saying. That's the problem. They're not telling anybody why they're being investigated. They're also not telling anybody who's handling the investigation. Is it the county sheriff's office? Is it the state patrol? Who's doing this investigation?
Okay, I think I might know who it is. It's the office of the state prosecutor that's investigating potential wrongdoing. Again, it's a state prosecutor. I would guarantee you it's a Democrat.
If you got a problem and you live in Ridgely, okay, somebody breaks into your house, who do you call?
The county. And cross your fingers they get there in time for the one who breaks in your house not to kill you.
Could be 15 minutes, could be 20 minutes, could be a half an hour.
Right.
Depending on where the closest county sheriff's deputy happens to be at that moment.
Exactly.
If you're in a bank and somebody comes in there to rob it, who are you going to call? The county? How long is it going to take? Well, we can't really tell you. You know, they'll be there when they get there.
I would pretty much, Craig, almost guarantee you that this is some put up. Remember, this is Maryland, you know, right near Washington, D.C., folks.
Just across and, the water.
And I think this is some kind of test case. When you got a prosecutor involved, a state prosecutor, you got to think twice about what's really going on.
I cannot imagine a police department of six people all being corrupt and nobody in town knows they're corrupt. It's a town of 1,600. Everybody knows everybody.
That's right.
Okay, if you sneeze on one side of the town, somebody on the other side of the town says, bless you.
Right.
You can't have six cops that are corrupt and nobody knows it.
No. In fact, one of the residents, her name is Jeannie Wu. She's a business owner in the downtown district and has been one since 1983. She said it just doesn't add up. Everyone in town is skeptical about what is happening. We want to know how and why.
Red flag.
Well, just go look to who your state prosecutor is, and there's your answer.
Look at who's running your state system of injustice.
That's right.
You know,
Maryland is a Democrat state.
Mm-hmm. You know, these six cops. It's just almost impossible for me to believe in a town of 1,600. Look, I live in a very rural area. Myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we've got a lot of small towns. And everybody knows who the town cops are. And they know them personally. When I'm in Valentine, Nebraska, and I run into the county sheriff, you know, he and I always have a real pleasant conversation. I know him and he knows me. It's like, hey, Rusty. Hey, Craig. You know, I mean, it's, you know, we know each other. Everybody knows everybody in a town like Ridgely. And nobody can figure out why these cops are being investigated.
Right.
That's a red flag.
That is a very large red flag. And it leads me to believe this is a setup. This is a test of something. And maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't find out. We might never know. Suddenly the cops might show back up again with orders not to say anything. We just don't know.
We don't know what's going on there. And the people there don't know what's going on there. That's the worst of it.
And the reason why we bring this up, folks, is this could be happening all across this country and we don't know it.
Small town America. There are so many small towns like this.
Right.
And you know, a lot of them are in these blue states.
Yes.
You know, you got to
be a future home of illegals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got people like this shop. There's a lot of mom and pop shops in small towns. Okay, you're not gonna find the big box stores and stuff like that in a town of 1,600 people. You got mom and pop groceries, you got mom and pop gas stations, you got mom and pop bookstores and this and that, and, you know. And they're the ones that are really being hung out to dry here.
Right. Because they have no protection.
And neither do families.
No. It's very scary times in this country, folks, because we have an administration now that is actively working against the health, safety, and welfare of the American people.
We're going to keep an eye on this, folks. We're going to let you know.
Yeah.
If we hear anything by Tuesday's show, we'll fill you in. We'll let you know what we hear.
Yes. We will.
I am really curious as to what the hell is going on.
I am too.
Well, and I'll tell you what. I know we're a few minutes early here, but what do you say we just wrap this up, call it a week?
I think that would be great.
All righty then, we'll do it.
Okay. With that, I say nighty-night, folks, and Star Trek awaits.
Have yourselves a great weekend, folks. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you again on Tuesday. Bye-bye.